Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Nope. And this is Stranger Still.
John, welcome back.
Thank you.
And welcome back to our listeners. This is Stranger Still,
a podcast where we explain
weird stuff. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Beacon.
And this week we're starting our October month.
Ooh. Yeah, October month fest.
Octoberfest month. We're just going to talk about creepy stuff this month.
Yeah.
Because it's October.
And we made it spooky. In our new spooky basement studio.
Yeah, we have two not very good light sources.
Yeah, I turned my phone upside down and put a cup on it.
Yeah, and I have a Minecraft torch that my buddy Jacob gave me. So we got spooky stuff. But for the next, I think, 4 weeks, we get to talk about some scary stuff, which I'm excited about.
And the first scary thing we're going to talk about is the global economy.
Ooh! The housing market's due for another crash. Ooh.
Stock prices are raising. That's good. Wait, that's good.
So hopefully by now, I said last week that you need to go listen to me on the Creepy Pasta podcast. Because I actually got my idea from one of his episodes.
Yeah, from Jeff?
From Jeff. The question that I guess Jeff came up with, basically in conversation with one of his guests, was where do scary stories come from? I thought it was a pretty good question. I think it's also a very good question to start the month of October with creepy topics.
Yeah.
Of course, it's everywhere today. It's in movies, books, TV, online, podcasts, video games, any consumable form of media.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, good old word of mouth.
Yeah.
First of all, where do you think scary stories originated?
Well, I'll tell you what, Nicholas.
Yeah.
Your first problem is when you say think. Because I know where spooky stories come from. And I'm going to tell you the legend.
Of legends?
Of legends. There was like a caveman or cavewoman.
Mm-hmm.
Or a cave sexual, asexual.
We're equal opportunity cavemen appreciators.
Yeah. I don't care what you are.
Yeah.
This is a person. He was a human.
Uh-huh.
And his grandkid's like, I'm going to go play outside. And he's like, no, you should like totally chill in the cave. Like, yeah. It's pretty bad out there. And the kid's like, no, I'm going to go play with some sticks.
Yeah.
And the grandpa's like,
the mammoth is going to kill you.
Yeah. And the kid's like, what? He's like, yeah, it's got big teeth. And it's not chill. It is not chill.
It has no chill.
It has no chill.
That's a meme.
It will bore you more than this story. Ooh, with its tusks. Ooh, through your chest cavity.
Literally.
Yeah, so it was like to protect people.
Yeah. I think that's what scary stories became. But they didn't necessarily start off that way. The crazy thing is that legends, specifically like vampires, have existed since the Fertile Crescent. Which is weird to me because they had just settled down in the Fertile Crescent. They're doing crops and stuff. And they basically just have to worry, like, is this plant going to kill me when I eat it? Or are all of my cattle going to die? But they're still worrying about stuff like vampires and the undead.
I think it's the same thing. I think it's to scare people from having power and control and stuff.
I mean, that's possible.
Like, pharaohs can make stuff up and all that junk.
But what I'm going to talk about, these legends have been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the history of the documented scary stories? Someone set the scene with a fairly simple history lesson. It's going to weave its way into our episode. That wasn't scary.
Weaves.
Ah,
oh no, this looks expensive.
Because I think I'm going to make a gross generalization here.
Okay.
There are two types of scary stories.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's disgusting. There's the ghost stories, and then there's a cautionary tale, which you've already alluded to.
Uh-huh.
And when I say cautionary tale, I cannot not bring up Aesop's Fables.
Yeah.
there's a ton of stories out there that were just passed from generation to generation from word of mouth until someone came along and decided to write them down. And we basically just attribute credit for these stories to that person.
Yeah.
Aesop is an example of this. There's like the Brothers Grimm who come into play much later where they just took all these stories and just wrote them down because no one ever thought to do that.
Yeah. And hey, they still exist today. I just read Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Where he comes up and he's like, I'm going to give you my gold. It's going to be the greatest. We're going to get you to spend so much yarn, you're not even going to believe it.
If you can guess my name.
If you could just guess my name.
Anyway, Aesop was around 600 BCE. His stories weren't necessarily scary. They were more instituted to convey morals. So some of them were as innocent as slow and steady wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were a little bit more dire, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, don't trust a wolf in sheep's clothing, or even if you take this thorn out of a lion's paw, he might still kill you because he's a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Why are you always lying?
Because I'm really tired. I just turned your joke into another joke. That's what we do.
And it went real bad. The joke went real bad.
Don't ever do it again. I'm quitting this podcast.
Quit making that joke to me. You don't know the song?
No.
Oh.
Anyway, I want to back pocket that notion of Aesop's fables for just a little bit, because I kind of want to go in chronological order here, just so you can get an idea of how these two different scary stories evolved. So we're going to jump forward about 700 years. It's the late 1st century, and around this time we get what seems to be the first recounting of a ghost story, which is, I mean, I think it took way too long to get to this point. But you might have heard of Pliny the Elder.
Oh, man.
Sawbones.
Yeah,
which
anybody's
is one of our favorite shows.
Yep.
Who's a doctor, quote-unquote, of sorts.
Yeah.
Around the time, there's also Pliny the Younger.
Oh!
Yeah! He actually became famous because of some letters that he wrote that were, I guess, good documentation of life in Rome during that time.
I just want to pause real quick. Yeah. So when we do this podcast and we prepare, we never really talk about our process.
Yeah.
But I'm literally learning.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't know these things, so I'm so genuinely excited to learn about Pliny the Younger.
Yeah. It's not a name that comes up a whole lot.
Yeah.
And he's important to our story here, and he's got some interesting stuff.
Good.
Because he was in one of his stories, he talked about this ghastly old man in chains. He's like bound in chains. He had this long beard. And he would just haunt Pliny's house. He would just like go around and haunt. And the story that he wrote in this letter was so, I don't know, good that people basically were just like, hey, can you come and tell that story to us again? Like people would just like ask him to come and tell this story. It's bizarre, but that's like the first quote unquote ghost story that I guess propagated beyond just like telling people around the fire.
Those Plinys.
They're important to our history. There was also, about 100 years later after Pliny, we had a Greek man named Lucian and a Roman guy named Plautus, something like that, that were writing ghost stories. But these three guys were the first person to really document ghost stories. And they've been around for a long time, since the 1st century, maybe even before that. And apparently after that, people started reporting ghost sightings. Needless to say, people were and still are afraid of ghosts.
Yeah.
But ghost stories weren't enough, as we all know. They get boring after a while. It's like, ooh, it's a floating bedsheet with eye holes cut into it. Ooh.
Yeah, those are so spooky.
It's so spooky.
Oh,
scary.
No, I spent so much on that cotton.
I know, it's got a good thread count.
Why'd you cut holes in it, ghosts?
So around the 13th century, fittingly enough, 13, we started to, I guess, fabricate reflections of our own fears into legends and monsters.
Oh, man. Why 13? I don't understand.
That's unlucky.
Oh, I don't believe in 13.
Oh, you just skip right over that when you count?
Yeah, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah. These fears, the first place that it really manifested itself was in witches. So in 1235 AD, or CE, whatever you want to call it, the Vatican wanted more power, as it is wont to do. So they started basically attributing any opposition to religion to witchcraft.
Yeah.
So if anyone stood against them, they're like, it's a witch. And that stuck with our culture for a really long time.
It kind of still sticks with our culture.
Yeah. Like that season of American Horror Story that I thought was going to lead up to a really satisfying end, but then the last few episodes were awful.
Or In Politics, like I was talking about.
Yeah. Along the way, though, I mean, this idea of witches stuck with us so long that basically anything that we couldn't explain became the work of witches.
Mm-hmm.
We also, obviously, got the idea of, like, demons from religion. Dante's Divine Comedy had a huge impact on the world, making, like, Satan and demons the large part of his story. Basically, God-fearing was really common at the time. But a lot of the horror stories came from ideas found in religion, especially mm-hmm. around this time, giving rise to stuff like witches and demons in horror.
Mm-hmm.
Also, around this time, we started to get stage plays. So it went from just writing it down, putting in books, and that sort of thing, into works on the stage. You get stuff like Hamlet, Macbeth from Shakespeare, which I don't think are scary, but apparently were scary back in the day.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot going on.
And spooky swords and sirens, right?
Yeah. And, like, Macbeth is visited by ghosts and witches and stuff. So, and I mean, if that was what was scary for the day, so be it. It's not scary to me, but it might have been scary to them.
It's because you're a brave little boy.
I'm a brave little boy.
You're a brave big boy. Let me take that back.
We'll talk about how much of a wimp I am later. Eventually, there was stuff, just enough weird stuff that people couldn't explain. And I was reading on bookstellyouwhy.com. They told a story about basically this case of mass hysteria that propagated in this town and was falsely attributed to a vampire. Vampires aren't real, but they had nothing to explain why everyone in this town was going crazy, so they said vampires were doing it.
Yeah.
So that started that. I think that's the first evolution of taking our real world fears and wrapping them into monsters or creatures or stuff like that. And I think vampires kind of manifested themselves into a lot of our fears. Fears of the undead, fears of being buried alive, fear of people coming into your home while you're sleeping and killing you.
Yeah.
Like, it was another one of those catch-alls. Also around this time, we had Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. We got demons still, but people got bored. And honestly, the concerns, like the common concern of society, shifted. Eventually, people started worrying about their own mortality. So this is where we get horror stories like serial killers. Jack the Ripper was famous around the 1800s, and it took the world by storm and kind of shifted the horror focus and just like turned it on its head. That's where we start to get monsters made out of people. We've got Jekyll and Hyde. We've got people studying the occult. I think that's where H.P. Lovecraft came into play with people that would raise these ancient creatures.
I think it's cool how people's fears evolved over time.
Yeah.
That it started out back in the day, you lived to be like 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
So people weren't so concerned about dying. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as important as when we started to live longer.
Sure.
And our quality of life improved.
Yeah.
So when that happened, it became even scarier to lose that.
Yeah. And we got some good monsters out of it. And it didn't just stop there. I think it's pretty common knowledge that the beginning of zombies was sort of an allegory for the cannibalism of capitalism gone awry. Now it's more so, I guess, the world's fear of reaching an apocalyptic point.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, it could happen at any time, and our whole world is gone. That's why we got doomsday preppers and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, and it's become such a big, giant culture
mm-hmm.
that it's become fun to think about, like, oh, how am I going to prep? And yeah. Then there's also real things to prep for.
But no, we've also kaiju, like the big Godzilla-like creatures from Japan, spawned from their fear of nuclear war.
Right.
So we bombed them. We bombed them real hard. It wasn't easy on them, obviously. So a lot of their fears were like, what if this happened again?
Yeah.
What would happen to us then? And that's where we get stuff like Godzilla.
I need to watch the original Godzilla. I have not seen it.
You haven't?
I have not.
I think, have you seen the one with Matthew Broderick?
No.
Oh, well, I have.
And maybe
I think
parts
that's all
of
you
it.
See. I think that's the pinnacle of the Godzilla mythos.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that's the best one. All the other ones are garbage.
Yep.
Can we say that's not true? So that people know?
Just in case there's any ambiguity, there, that movie is awful.
And the original Godzilla is like has beautiful parts and it's like sad.
Yeah. Yeah, and nothing about Matthew Broderick in Godzilla is beautiful. Smash cut to today. I think a lot of our horror movies that like come to mind are centered around home life or post-apocalyptic conditions. Mm-hmm. A lot of zombie movies, Walking Dead, that sort of thing. But then there's also movies like The Visitors or The Purge. That Cloverfield Lane movie, it's all like these weird things happening within the confines of your home. Mm-hmm. So you're taking this controlled environment and it goes awry. And how do you deal with it when that happens? Is that a fair assessment, do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's constantly evolving. But the main thing today, anyway, is that a lot of these stories and the good ones are reflections of our own fears. And every culture has their own fears, which is, I think, where you get good stuff like The Ring or The Grudge and that sort of thing from Japan.
Or anything that comes out of Korea.
Anything that comes out of Korea. Like, they have all these really good movies that we watch them as outsiders and they're just scary. Mm-hmm. But you go into their culture and it's actually a metaphor for something that's going on that scares them. Which is why when you bring them over to America and you whitewash them all, it's not good anymore.
Yeah. Tell me about it with Old Boy.
Yeah. That's such a good movie.
Old Boy is probably one of my favorites. And yeah. I don't think I'm going to see the Spike Lee version.
Honestly, if I'm being like super critical, I feel like some producer out there watched the scene where he's in the hallway and kicks a bunch of butt and was like, I want that. And they're just were like, all right, let's make a movie that's based around that really cool scene.
Well, it was Spike Lee.
Yeah.
He's a black dude that makes a bunch of really good movies. Yeah. But
I mean, he does. Yeah. But at the same time.
So he's not really white. Well, I guess he's whitewashing. It's white dudes.
Yeah. The movie's already made. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, it already exists in Korea. Just let it be there. And if it's good, people will watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you got to remember, we've got some dumb people here, I guess.
Yeah, but they don't
want to watch people that look like them.
Because then they go see the American Old Boy and they're like, oh man, this is really good. And you're like, no, it's not. Anyway, I got off topic there. I want to jump back just a little bit because outside of movies, a lot of the modern horror stories, I think, are found online. I think there's some books out there. There's like the spooky, scary stories to tell after midnight. But mostly, a majority of the good, scary stories are found online. Especially like Slenderman or Candle Cove, which I know we both really enjoy.
Yeah.
But these types of stories came from urban legends like Bloody Mary that we've talked about before, or creepy hitchhikers or killer clowns, or that old story about finding the hook on the car door when you get home, or stories like that that started out as urban legends. And urban legends are often cited as the modern folktale. So let's get back to Aesop. It's the modern cautionary tale. That's what a folk tale
is. Hey, when did you want to get back to Aesop?
Aesop.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is that urban legends are the modern cautionary tale. Some of them aren't so much a cautionary tale as they are meant to just scare the bejesus out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the creepy, horrific folk tales can kind of be traced back to the Brothers Grimm.
I don't know. I can't think of anything scarier than getting the bejesuses scared out of me.
Everyone gets bees.
Like, little Jesus that look like little bees that look like Jesus.
Yep. Now I'm with you.
Like, you know, like a little beards.
Yep. Let's just keep beating this dead horse.
maybe they, you know, they like turn water into honey.
Yeah. That's a good joke.
Yeah. Thanks.
You should have led with that one.
Maybe they like, they build little hives with little carpenter tools.
I get it. Cause Jesus was a carpenter.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
bejesus, you get it?
Cause, no, I get it. Okay. I got it. Yep.
He's like,
okay. So anyway, the Brothers Grimm, they took super simple stories that had been going around word of mouth, like Little Red Riding Hood, and made them super gruesome and creepy, and then they wrote them all down. And they made, from my understanding, and I could be wrong, they made them creepy because if they weren't creepy, they didn't sell as well.
Yeah, and then also, like the Father, the Son, and the Honey Spirit.
Oh, you were sitting on that. I should have known when I looked over and I saw a blank stare that you were still working on another.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Brothers Grimm, they take stories that have been passed around for ages and make them horrifying. So I'm just going to put a little teaser in here.
Mm-hmm.
Then next week, we'll talk about the psychology of why we love scary stories.
And why they last so long.
And how they last so long. Just as a collective society, like, why do we keep going back to horror movies and all that sort of thing? I think next week we'll explore when you write about a kid named Hansel and a girl named Gretel, and they find a witch, and it's whatever. It's not popular until they throw her into a furnace and she screams while she's getting burned alive.
Yeah. Happy October, bud.
Do you want to recap for me?
Yeah. So, I guess it all kind of started with the Plinys. It was cautionary tales, probably like, hey, Jeff? Yeah. Yeah, other Cave Dave. Hey, Cave Jeff, you shouldn't touch the fire because Cave Richard touched it and it hurt his hand. And then Cave Dave's like, oh, wow. Well, hey, thanks, man. You're always looking out.
I'm glad that you can make any name a caveman name just by putting cave in front of it.
That's how people talked back then.
So in Portal 2, there's Cave Johnson. Would his cave name be Cave Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Cave Johnson.
So, John, do you want to, instead of doing a listener question for this month, do you want to get people in the October spirit by giving some spooky story or media consumption suggestions?
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite things in recent years that was spooky scary was like a super simple concept. Uh-huh. And I think when you keep it really simple, that's the best way to go because it leaves a lot up to your imagination. But I really like the movie It Follows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's one of my favorites. A lot of it is because I'm biased because I'm a composer. And I write music for film and TV or want to and do it for my friends' projects.
Disaster Pieces work on that movie is just
yep.
Really, really well done.
Really not a disaster at all.
Yeah, it's quite the opposite, mm-hmm. ironically. For me, I've just been reading a lot of creepypasta lately, and it's kind of hard to find good ones. So I just want to recommend a couple good ones real fast. Go read Candle Cove, obviously. It's super good.
That's
I'm not
going to
say
favorite.
Anything about it. Mm-hmm. Go read, I just read today a story called Captain's Log. So just go look up Captain's Log, Creepypasta, you'll find it. And I don't know how people feel about the Pen Pal series. There's some bad parts of it. There's like, I think, 4 or 5 different stories in what's called the Pen Pal series. But there's some genuinely well-written, scary moments in that entire story. So go check that out. I think he has a book out too if you just want to read his book, or you can read it for free on Reddit. That's all I got.
Cool. There's also a spooky story that I read on Creepypasta, mm-hmm. and like it gets really obscure, and you could tell that it's completely shaped by internet culture. Mm-hmm. But there was a haunted Godzilla NES cartridge.
Oh yeah, yeah, those types of stories.
That was really like cool art.
Yeah,
and like really genuinely
mm-hmm. it had, like,
interesting,
screen charts, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was cool. It wasn't like
the dumb
so scary, but
yeah.
It was really cool.
So, that's all we got for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for hopefully going on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this and dropping us at least a rating.
Yeah.
You can leave us a review. We'll give you a nice call out.
Or if you share us on Facebook, we'll give you a call out.
Absolutely. On Facebook, you can just search for Stranger Still. And we have a Facebook group where we do some fun stuff. We also have a Twitter.
At Stranger Still.
Are you saying it like Dracula?
I'm saying it like I forgot what I was going to say. Oh. No, but seriously, we want people to be interactive.
Yeah.
We want to interact with you in our Facebook group, which is like super fun. We post fun articles and we like to hear your takes on stuff and get ideas for shows.
Yeah, we have a pretty good community of people just talking about fun scientific articles or just posting stuff about things we talked about. Like we had some really good responses to the colorblind episode.
Yep.
And how that involves with game design, and that sort of thing from Malcolm that we talked about last week. So join us there. You can, if you have any questions, we want more listener questions. So you can email those to us at podcast@strangerstillshow.com.
You can visit strangerstillshow.com. Nick's been making some pretty cool art.
Yeah, for each episode, just making a little bit of art to put up. Mm-hmm. You can tweet it to us. And you can ask us on Facebook. Sometimes we ask for listener questions. So keep an eye out for that if you got something weird you want answered.
I'm a spooky jaunt-o-lantern.
I'm a spooky Nick Ferratu.
And this is Stranger Steel.